The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Ross Briley in the studio. It's day four of Royal Ascot. There's also a red car of market racing in the afternoon, and in the evening three meetings, Goodwood and Newmarket domestically and Down Royal in Limerick. In fact, four meetings in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very good form, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Good, actually, in fact, because Royal Ascot has been fantastic so far.
Been very good, hasn't it? Really enjoyable, as you'd expect it to be fair, for the quality of racing that we're seeing. But, yeah, some good favourites going in, one or two turnovers at a big price, and decent prices, I should say, and it's not been too bad.
No, and John Gosden is enjoying a good time of it. His latest success was in the Prince of Wales Stakes, the Fugue getting the better of Magician in second, and Trave... A disappointing third.
Yeah, disappointing third, but obviously widely reported afterwards that she wasn't right. Frankie wasn't happy going to the start, and Cricket Head thought the same, and during the race as well. And she did have a bit of a scratchy action, as they call it, as well. The head carriage wasn't very straightforward either, it didn't seem. And I think also she wants further. She was keeping on a bit at the end, but, you know, she's. I think if she's maybe sort of pulled a muscle, or she has just got, you know, a little tweak somewhere, she still managed to run the Irish Guineas and Breeders' Cup turf winner to half a length on ground that was probably too fast for her,
yeah,
over a trip that was inadequate whilst carrying a small injury. Probably not a bad run, to be fair. So I'm sure they'll, you know... give her the once over, or give her a few overs to make sure she's all right, and we'll see her back in the autumn for a Verme Arc double, which is disappointing. I would have liked to have seen her in the King George, but unless she comes to hand again, and they, you know, it's only a very minor thing, I doubt that's going to happen.
Yes, but what did you make of the winner? I mean,
the winner was great.
Great training performance to get her back and winning like that.
After she had a terrible, terrible winter, basically, John Gosden had said that she didn't enjoy training during the winter, even though it was mild for our sort of season. The trip to Dubai wasn't straightforward. She got struck into during the race as well. So basically, the whole thing was a nightmare. And that was off the back of being to Hong Kong and America as well.
Yeah.
A tremendous, hardy filly, been all over the world. And a deserved Group 1 win. She should have won the Oaks a couple of years ago, but, you know, I'm sure they're not too worried about that now that she's won four Group 1s in the Nassau, the Yorkshire Oaks, and she's beaten the boys twice in the Irish Champion and the Prince of Wales's. And I presume we'll maybe see her back at the Eclipse, so that comes up quickly. But the King George back here at Ascot is fine. She's got no trouble with a mile and a half. The Irish Champion, another repeat effort there, a repeat Yorkshire Oaks. Champion Stakes back at Ascot. Yep. Everything's open to her. She travelled beautifully, really, you know, really, really well.
Yeah, she did. She travelled like the wrath of God, shall we say.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, the Duke of Cambridge went the way of Integral. Another impressive performance on the day.
Yeah, good run from her. Still improving, obviously, and she, you know, she won better than her dam did in the same race, 8 years ago, Echelon. And it was a good, nice performance. Plenty of options over a mile. So Michael actually said in the interview afterwards that I watched back that she's got plenty of speed and he wouldn't, you know, be against dropping her back to seven. And which is a surprise, really, when Echelon her down was a miler through and through, and she'd buy Dalakani, you'd think she'd want further, not less. But the programme over seven furlongs isn't very good for all horses, let alone the fillies and mares. And I think that unless you run... There's only two races, really, you can run in over seven at Goodwood and Doncaster, and I think they'll more likely go for the Group 1 options for the fillies and mares, which include the races like the Falmouth, the Nassau, which is over nine, and the Matron, Sun Chariot, those sort of things for her. I think she'll be competitive. I wouldn't totally rule off Sky Lantern, though. They said before that she takes a lot of work to get fit. She's a big unit for a filly. She's been beaten first time out both previous seasons. And, I mean, look at the improvement she showed last year from the Nell Gwyn to the Guineas.
Yeah.
And if she's anything like that, those two could have a great scrap in the Falmouth, especially if we get one of the three-year-olds in there as well. You know, we're going to talk about the coronation. It Could be a great race to Falmouth.
Could be a very nice race. Also a good day for Pat Smullen. He had a double on the day with Anthem Alexander and Mustajib. And that's also a good day for Hamdam Al-Maktoum as well, because he had Mustajib and another winner on the card in Mutila. So.
Yeah, and he had 1-2 in the Mustajib race because Muwari was second. So he's really come back, Hamdam Al-Maktoum, hasn't he? Because he was one of the dominant forces for many years. Tegruder winning the Oaks was his first Group 1 winner in Britain for 5 years since Ganassi had won the Guineas. He had a 1-2 there, 1-2 with Mustajib and Muwari. Mutila, I absolutely love Mutila. If I could, you know, if money was no object and I could buy one horse, I would buy Mutila. I absolutely love her. She's not very big, but she tries really hard. And she's the sort of filly that always just keeps doing enough. So whatever grade she runs in, whoever she runs against, she just keeps trying. And I mean, yes, you watch that race back. There's about six or seven of them trying to get past her in the last furlong. And she just ears flat back, head down, really trying. And I absolutely love those traits in a horse. And to be honest, Queen Katrine probably would have done her if she'd have kicked off earlier. But I think more because that she couldn't see her because she was coming down the middle, I suppose. If she was close to her, I'm not convinced she would have done, basically, because I think she's just keeps finding more. But yeah, really great day on Wednesday. Really was good stuff.
Yeah, not adding any bias to this, but I don't want to talk about Queen Katrine.
No. We'll move on.
Yeah. Let's move on, in fact, to day four of Royal Ascot. The fourth day is on Friday. Stephen's picked out three races, including the big race, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Friday's action. The first race that we're going to look at is the first race on the card. It's the 2:30, the Albany Stakes, a Fillies Group 3 over six furlongs. It's for the two-year-olds as well. And Patience Alexander is the 4-1 market leader. Sunset Glow 9-2, 10-1 for Bazana and Bitter Lake. Sexy Legs is 11-1, 12-1 for Bond's Girl. Elite Gardens is 12-1, 14-1 for Effusive. And 16-1 or bigger prices. Mm-hmm. The rest, would you like, Stephen?
Could be a good renewal of this race, Mark. 9 out of the 24 are coming into the race unbeaten, with the majority of having just had the one start, but a couple of them are unbeaten in two as well. And even those that haven't you know, remained unbeaten have got decent form. The shortlist, Mark, is of four horses: the two Godolphin horses, Bitter Lake, who's trained by Charlie Appleby, Elite Gardens, who's trained by Sybin Soror, the favourite Patience Alexander, and the American horse Sunset Glow, the four that I like. Going back through them, Bitter Lake is by Halling, who's not a particularly well-known sire for two-year-olds and two-year-olds that are decent. They tend to get better with age, like he did. Mm-hmm. But she was very impressive at Newmarket. I was there for her debut. She stayed on really strongly on soft ground and shaped as though that a better surface would help her. The form hasn't worked out too badly, the early indications are. And obviously Charlie Appleby's been doing well with these fillies. So I like Bitter Lake. The other Godolphin filly, Elite Gardens, out of the two, I probably just prefer her, in fairness, for Sybin Soror and Kieran Fallon. She won at Newmarket over Guineas weekend. She was the only filly in the field of the race that she won. She's by new approach. Five furlongs was going to be too short for her, I thought, but she managed to get up and win. The extra furlong should suit her now, and that form has worked out very well indeed. I just prefer her of the two Godolphin horses. Obviously, Patience Alexander's form's very good. She defeated Tiggy Wiggy at York, who's come out and won a listed race, second yesterday in the Queen Mary as well, so that is very good, solid form. And Patience Alexander's from the same family as Anthem Alexander, who won the Queen Mary, in that the dams are related and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a good, precocious, speedy family, and Adam Kirby's riding really well. And then the American horse, you can't leave that out, Sunset Glow. She was second on dirt first time up at Pimlico, I think, before winning on turf at Belmont. And she absolutely scorched the turf at Belmont that day over five. And she beat the boys as well. It was only 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So, she's come across the Atlantic and turning her out quickly. But you can't ignore him. When you look at Hootenanny, Jealous Again, all the other horses he's brought over, there's, you know, five or six of them. And even the one yesterday who got beat ran well, considering she missed a break in the Queen Mary as well. So those four are on the shortlist. Patience Alexander, I know it's not very original, is the one to beat. If I was going to have a bet, Elite Garden, I think you quoted 12-1 at time of recording, I think it's a cracking price, because that maiden Newmarket's worked out really well, and the extra furlong will be bang up what she needs.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Elite Gardens is 12-1, yes, at the time of recording. Moving on to the next race, the 3:45, the King Edward VII Stakes, which is a group 2 over a mile and a half for three-year-olds. And Adelaide heads to the betting at 11-4. 5-1 for Snow Sky. Western Hymn, 5-1. 7-1 for Miner's Lamp. Bunker is 8-1 with Eagle Top. Bit of money for Eagle Top as well. That's been back from nines. Eights also for Odeon, 9-1, or bigger prices the rest.
Yeah, cracking race, Mark. I could make out a case for probably just about all of these, including the Italian runner Dylan Mouth, who's unbeaten, having won the Derby Italiano last time out. He has got a penalty to carry for that, but if he's good enough, I don't think that'll make much of a difference. Adelaide, really nice horse. Aidan O'Brien was quoted after he won the Gallinule Stakes on soft ground at the Curragh that he was really concerned about the soft ground for him because he's got a lovely action, so the grounds would seem in a much better light. Obviously, they've had a quiet couple of opening days, the O'Brien yard, but they were always thinking that their better horses were coming at the end of the week, and obviously we're recording this before Thursday's action, so it's going to be interesting with a couple of favourites to see how they get on Thursday and Friday. But he's a lovely horse, and I think the fact that they're only running one in a race where they've fired one or two darts before with average horses is significant. Bunker was disappointing on his return to action when quite well favoured after showing good form last year. Eagle Top, it's interesting that Buick rides him and not Western him. He's been quoted saying that he chose Eagle Top, but I don't think that Buick and Western him gelled very well around Epsom in particular, so I'm interested to see Richard Hughes. But he got bumped and barged all round Epsom less than 2 weeks ago in the Derby, yeah, and that sort of leans me away from him a little bit. Snow Sky, I thought, doing his best work at the end on decent ground at Lingfield. His two runs before that were cutting the ground, including when he was beaten by Western Hymn. But there's not a great deal, really, between all of those that I've mentioned there. And you can throw in Miner's Lamp as well for Charlie Appleby. Ryan Moore, very interesting booking for the boys in Bloom. He's been plying his trade at a slightly lower level, but it is a fascinating race. If you pinned me down, I think I'd probably just go with Snow Sky. Sir Michael's had a couple of winners. He's the typical sort of improving horse that Sir Michael brings along, like Hillstar, who won the race last year. And he'll light the ground. And because he missed the Derby, he's had a little break. I'd side with him. Obviously, Adelaide really could be anything. Mm. And I just wish I had more sort of proof of the O'Brien horses from the week. If we're looking at Saturday, then I'd probably have a more definitive view. Just Snow Sky. Just Snow Sky over Adelaide, I think. Okay. It's a good little race.
Yeah, it is a good race. Narrow preference for Snow Sky, then. And on to the final race we're going to look at, the big race of the day, the 4:25 Ascot, the Coronation Stakes. It's part of the British Champion Series. It's a fillies group one for the three-year-olds, and it's over a mile. And the betting is headed by My Titania, who's 7-2. Lightning Thunder, 4-1. Less Talk in Paris is 7s with Rizina. 9-1 for Kiyoshi. Euro Charlene is 10-1. 12-1 for Tapestry, and 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So good to see My Titania back on the track, Stephen.
It is, finally. She scoped badly, so she missed the hour 1,000. They took her out because of the soft ground in the Irish 1000. What worries me about that slightly, you can look at it two ways. She's obviously been fit and ready to run for a while, but at the same time, has she been brought to the boil twice for two races and then not run, and bringing her to the boil again for a third time in what, 6 or 7 weeks, worries me a little bit, especially first time out going into a race of this quality. I think obviously she's a lovely filly and I think she's going to be a very good horse, but I'm wondering if you're going to take her on, this might be the day to do so. Lightning Thunder, you can't knock her at all. Very solid behind Miss France in the English 1000 and behind Marvellous in the Irish 1000. Miss France didn't do a great deal for the form in Paris at the weekend, but that, I don't think, was her true running, personally. Whilst the Irish 1000 has had one or two boosts already, a couple of the horses behind, although Marvellous didn't run very well in the Oaks, behind have come out, and one tested, I think, was the one in particular. So I do think she'll be there. She's solid, but she's always, I get the impression she's always just going to find one that's too good. She'll be there and thereabouts in lots of big races, and she might get her day in the sun, but I'm worried about whether this would be it. Obviously, you've got to respect Rosina, won the track last year. Ryan Moore rides well fancied for the guineas, and things just didn't go quite to plan. Mm-hmm. Clive Britton obviously has done well with his fillies over the years, and I think that she's going to be involved. We still think, wonder if Kiyoshi's a bit of a nutcase. Euro Charlene and Jay Wonder have just fallen a bit short when they've gone to the top level. And so does Lucky Crystal. Radiator, absolutely blew everybody apart when she dotted up at Lingfield in that maiden, but she hasn't quite followed through. Although her seasonal debut was more like it at York, it's another big step up here. And the one I actually like is Less Talk in Paris for Jean-Claude Rouget and Christophe Soumillon. Well touted, beaten favourite in the French 1000 guineas last time by a stable companion, Avenir Certain, who again boosted that form by winning the Prix de Diane at the weekend, when what was a cracking renewal of the French Oaks. So the form of the French guineas is working out well, and I do think the French three-year-old fillies are generally just a little bit better than the British and Irish ones, and the fact that they skipped last weekend, he's kept his stable stars apart, comes here, I think she's going to go really well, Less Talk in Paris, and she's my choice.
Okay, Less Talk in Paris then, to win it for the French. Good stuff, Stephen, thank you very much, and enjoy on Friday.
Will do, Mark, thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing at Royal Ascot. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Ross Briley in the studio. We have this meeting, day four of Royal Ascot. There's also a Red Car and Market Racing in the afternoon, Goodwood and Newmarket in the evening domestically, and two meetings in Ireland as well, Down Royal and Limerick. So do tune in for all that. Should be a good day. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.